Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Mem Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated by Jerry Harari and family in memory of Yosef Ben Simcha. Ruach Hashem Tanichinu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Leilu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther and Rabbi Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Rishon on the top line. Gemara says, Ve'amar Rabbi Zera, Ana Hazite L'Rabbi Abhu. He said, I saw that Rabbi Abhu Sheniach Yadav Keneged Panav Shel Mata. He placed his hands in front of, literally, panav shel mata, his face on the bottom, which is referring to that she says when he was bathing, because of tziniut, he covered his private parts with his hands. Ve'lo yadana inaga ilo naga. But I didn't know if he actually was touching the ever or not. Because I saw him covering it with his hands, but I didn't know if he was actually touching it or not. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Peshita de lo naga. It's pashut, it's obvious that he did not touch the ever. Why? The Tanya, because we have a braita that says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol ha'ochez be'ama u'mashtin, ki'ilu mevim mabu la'olam. That anybody that holds on to the ever and mashtin and he urinates, it's as if he brings a flood to the world. What does that mean? So that she says, Shemitchamim, that by touching the Eved, it becomes hot. Ubali de keri, and it causes him to have a seminal discharge. Vezil kilkulo shel dora mabul, and that was the sin of the generation of the mabul, of the flood. Motziim shekvat zera labatala dechtiv, ki yishchit kol basar means they wasted. What did they waste? They wasted their zera. So therefore you're not allowed to touch the Eved. So how could you even think that he was touching the Eved? Amar Abaye, asa'ua kiboleshet. No, they treated Rab Abhu like the boleshet. What is boleshet? Boleshet is an army of soldiers that, let's say, are going through the town. What's the lore of soldiers going through a town? So the Gemara says, Ditnan. Boleshet shenichnesa le'ir. A group of soldiers of army that goes to the city, really they would be called in English marauders, where they loot the city usually and they pillage. B'sha'at shalom, if they're coming in peace, which means it's not war time, but they're passing through the city, haviyot pituchot asurot. So any open barrel of wine, even in a person's private house, becomes forbidden. Because the assumption is that they go into the houses and they loot and they take the yayin and they pour it for the avodah zarah. And it becomes yayin nesich. Any wine that is dealt with by the goyim becomes asur. Because they used to pour their wine for their avodah zarah. So any open barrels automatically becomes pasur by once they pass through the city. Situmot mutarot. But the sealed ones remain permissible. Because if it's still sealed, so obviously they didn't touch it. Because if they would have touched it, they're not going to bother resealing it. So therefore, if the seal is still on it, rest assured you can say, it's okay. However, bishat milchama, that if they come in at a time of war, elu ve'elu mutarot. Both the open barrels and the sealed barrels are permissible. Why? Lefi she'en penai, was there's no time for them to make yayin nesek, to pour the wine for avodah zarah, because they're too scared. They're too scared fighting the war, so they're not going to go now start taking wine and opening it up and pouring it to avodah zarah. Alma, what's the implication? Kevan debe'ite, since they're scared, lo menasche, they don't come to make nisuch. Hachaname, kevan debe'ite, since Rab Abhu was scared, meaning he was in the river, and therefore he's scared that he might drown. Lo atelirure. He won't not come to have bad thoughts. And therefore, when the Bizirah saw of Abhu, he had a safek. Was he actually touching the Eved or not? How can he be touching the Eved? No. If you're in a situation where there will be no hidhud, could be it's mutar. Just like the case of the Boleshet, that when they were coming through the city, when we saw in the time of war where they're scared, where they're fearful, so therefore what? They don't touch the wine. I could say the same thing over here. Since the Babu was in a situation of fear, why? Because he's in the water. So maybe touching the Eved is not going to come to Erud, because he's preoccupied with his fear. So therefore the Bizirah says, I saw him, and I saw him covering his Eved, but I didn't know if he touched or not. Now we understand that the Bizirah Safek could have been a legitimate Safek, because in this case, it's possible that the rabbis would allow him to touch the Eved even, because he's not going to come to bad thoughts, or he's not going to come to Himum, to come to Keri, because of the situation that he's in. So comes the Gemara and says, Ve'acha mai bi'ituta, but over here, what's the fear? I understand by the Boleshet, they're scared of their lives because they're Bishat Milchama. What's the fear in Rabbi Abahu's case? So the Gemara says, like we said, bi'ituta dinahara, the fear of the river. By the fact that he's in the river, he's scared that he might drown. So therefore, could be they allowed him to cover the Eved and actually touch it, because the fear will alleviate the erur of the zer al batala. Ini, the Gemara has a question. Ve'amar bi abba amar avuna amar rav. Kol amaniyah yadav keneged panav shel mata. Ki ilu kofer bebrito shel Avraham Abinu. How did he cover it at all? Forget about whether he touched it or not, but to cover it shows as if you're embarrassed of the berit of Avraham Abinu. You're embarrassed of the circumcision. Why should he cover it? Unless he's ashamed that he has a berit milah. And Rav taught that anybody that does such a thing, it's as if he's kofer. As she says, nireishu bosh bedavad. So from another aspect, he really shouldn't have covered himself up in the river. So the Gemara says, La kasha. That's not a question. Gemara says, Ha kinachit. One case is talking where he's going down into the river. Ha kisalik. And one is talking where he's coming up from the river. Rashi, kinachit. When he's going down the nahar, panav kelape nahar, when his face is facing the river, his back is towards the people. Ve'en kan mishum tziniut. So there's no tziniut fact, there's no modesty fact, because there's nobody in front of him. Then asur lechasoto. Then it's forbidden to cover. Because if you're going to cover yourself when you're going down into the river, the only reason why you're doing it is because you're ashamed of the bit milah. Then it's forbidden. Ki salik. However, when he's coming out of the river, upanav kelape ha'am, and he's facing the people, then as she says, mutar mishum tziniut. Then we understand why he's covering it. Not because he's ashamed of the brit milah, but because it's modesty. So therefore, no question. We can say that Rabbi Zera was going down into the river over there. Oh, sorry, he was coming out of the river. So since he was coming out of the river, he was covering panav shel mata. You have no problem of ki'ilu kofer bebrito shel Avraham Avinu. But since he was in the water still, so therefore he had fear still of the Nahar, and therefore the Rabbi had a she'ela, Rabbi Zera, did he actually touch it or not? That was already the safek. Comes the Gemara and says, Ki ha de Rava, like the practice of Rava, actually there's some, the Girsaot changed that to Rabba with a he, Shaheh, Rabba would bow, which means, Rabba was Mahmir. He would go down to the river in a bowing position and come out of the river in a bowing position in order that his Eved would not be visible. It seemed he held that when is it considered that you're Bosh from the Brit Milah? Only when you're actually covering it with your hands. But if you're able to walk in a way where it's concealed, so to speak, when he bends over, so he, even walking down into the river, used to cover it in such a fashion. The Bizera Zakif. And Maraz says, no. The Bizera would stand straight. That she says, the Hayish Lid Rav. Because he suspected to the opinion of Rav, Shelo Yireke Kofer. And that was talking when he would come out of the river, like we learned, in order that he should not live. I'm sorry, when he would go down to the river, when his back was to the people, he would stand erect, in order that he shouldn't be looking like he's kofed bebito, shlav Ram Avinu. Rabbanan, debe Rav Asher, the rabbis of the Bet Midrash of Rav Asher, kikan nachte, when they went down to the river, zakfe, kikas salke, shahe. So when they would go down to the river, they stood straight. That we understand, in order they should not look like they are kofir. When they came out of the river, shacheh, they would bow again, not to to be bitzniut, in order that they shouldn't have their ever revealed in front of the people. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabbi Zera hava kamishtamet mit Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Zera used to hide himself or purposely try to keep away from Rav Yehuda. Why? Deba'el mesak le'arad Yisrael. Because Rabbi Zera wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. And we know Rav Yehuda was against that. Why? Da'amad of Yehuda, kol ha'ole mi-Babel le'Eretz Yisrael, anybody that goes from Babel and moves to Eretz Yisrael, over be'aseh, he transgresses a positive commandment, so to speak. What is that positive commandment? Shne'emar, Babel ha'yuva'u, the Jews will go to Babel, ve'shama yiyu, and they're going to have to remain there. And the end of the pasuk says, "Ad yom pokdi otam neum Hashem," until I remember them. And then the end of the pasuk says, "Vashivotim ulamakom azeh," I will bring them back. Which is, Rabbi Yehuda said, once we went into exile, you can't go back into Eretz Yisrael until Mashiach comes. Mashiach will bring the Jewish people back into Eretz Yisrael. We cannot go on our own. Rabbi Zera obviously did not hold of this derasha. He held that this pasuk was referring to the Kalei Mikdash, or the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and that you need Mashiach for. But until that point, you can go to Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't want to stay next to the Yehuda, because he would have caused them problems if he knew he was going to Eretz Yisrael. So Amar, he said, Izil ve'ishma' minem milta. Let me go hear a halakha from him. Let me go hear one last chiddush from him. Ve'iteh ve'esak. Then I will go up to Eretz Yisrael. Azali went, Ashkehe de Kae Bebane. He saw that the Yehuda was in the bathhouse. The Kamar Lil Shame, and he told his servant, Havi Uli Neter. Bring for me Neter. What is Neter? Neter is a type of detergent that they used to use in order to wash their hair. So he told it to him in Hebrew in the bathhouse, Havi Uli Neter. Havi uli masrek, bring for me a comb. Then he told them, Pithu pumaychu, open your mouths, ve'afiku habla, in order that the habla, vapor of the bathhouse will enter the body, Rashi says. V'yikanes, I'm reading Rashi, haval bet ha-mirchas letoch ha-guf, by allowing the steam to go into the body, it'll release perspiration. A person will sweat and all the bad will come out. Heat goes in and perspiration comes out. So he was telling him, and then drink from the waters of the bathhouse. That was the conversation that he heard of Yehuda have in the Bebaneh. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Amar. So when Rabbi Zira heard this, he said, "Ilmale bati ela lishmo adavar ze dayai." If I just had come to hear this, it's enough. Which means he felt that he learned a lot from what he heard take place in the Beit Baneh. Why? We understand what the hadush is that he heard his rabbi say, bring me netir, bring me the detergent. This was netir, was made out of sand. And bring me masrek, bring me the comb. Kamash malan, the hadush is debarim shilhol, mutal leomram b'lshon HaKodesh. The hadush is that in a bathhouse, you're allowed to speak in lashon HaKodesh if you're talking divrechol. If you're talking mundane things, which means bring me the shampoo, bring me the comb, that's not the Vre Torah. So Hadush is you're allowed to speak Hebrew in a Vet Berachat. Okay, we understand that's a very big Hadush, very important to know that. Now, it's interesting, that was the only statement that he said in Lashon HaKodesh. The rest of the statements he said in Aramaic, Pithu Pumaychu, open your mouths, the Apiku Habla, and let the Haval go into you in order that you should release. Why would he say the other statements, which are also Devrehol? Why would he switch back into Aramaic? So I saw one of the Mefarshim, Rabbi Eliezer Hurwitz brings down in his Perushan in the back, that he switched to Lashon Aramit because he was now giving the people advice, health advice, exactly how to benefit from the mikveh, and the general language that they would speak in the olden days was Aramaic. So he wanted everybody to benefit from it. So therefore he switched to Aramaic to give everybody a zechut to understand these pointers in how to have health benefits in the mikveh itself. Now even though the Sefarim do bring down that you're really not supposed to talk so much in the Beit HaMerchatz. For example, the Reshit Chokhmah says you're supposed to limit your talking in a Beit HaMerchatz. However, in this case over here, he wanted to teach the people wisdom. The Hachemim always want to teach Chokhmah. So Rabbi Yehuda, he can't teach Torah, obviously, because he's in a Beit HaMerchatz. So he wants to at least teach them good advice. Why? Because by that he fulfills the mitzvah of Gemilut Hasadim. You know, a Merchatz is a place where really you're devoid from mitzvot. You can't do too many mitzvot in the bathhouse. So the rabbis would always look for a way to still be involved in doing a mitzvah that's legal in the Beit HaMerchatz. One mitzvah that's legal in the Beit HaMerchatz is what? Chesed. So how do you do chesed? You give them advice. Open your mouths, do this, drink from the water. So that's helping them. They tell stories about the Kadosh from Lublin, which was one of the great rabbis, that his minhag was he would take with him a bag of combs to the bathhouse. And everybody that finished, he would give them a comb. Why? Because he wanted to always be with a mitzvah. So at least he was able to do chesed. They also say about the Gaon of Zalman from Vilna, that when he was in the minhas, he would tell stories. You know, nice stories, pleasant stories to the people, in order what? To do them chesed in the mikveh. At least they'll hear a something, so he could fulfill a mitzvah. In any event, the Gemara now analyzes all those health tips that Rabbi Yehuda gave the people in the Merchatz. Pithu pumaychu, open your mouths. Ve'apiku habla, and the haval will go inside your mouth. So what's the benefit of that? So the Gemara says, Na'ame kiddush Shmuel. That's following Shmuel, the Amar. Shmuel, Havla Mapik Havla. Havla, the vapor from the mikveh brings out vapor. Meaning hot vapor that goes in, brings out and causes the body to sweat, and brings out the perspiration. Havla Mapik Havla. The hot brings out hot, so to speak. Which means the vapor is like zi'ah, it's like sweat. So you breathe it in, and that causes the body to release all the, today they'll probably call it toxins and things like that, that come out of the body through the perspiration. So it's a health issue. Amzi Gemaran says, Ela ashtu mayad bebaneh.
that he tells him to, you know, to drink the waters of the bathhouse. What's the benefit to drink those waters? The Tanya, because we have a Braita. The Braita says, Achal velo shata. If a person eats and he doesn't drink after he eats, achilato dam. So this achila is considered literally blood, which means dangerous. It means as if he's doing something that is unhealthy, that he's causing his life to be taken away. And this is the beginning of intestinal problems. So that's the first thing. When you eat, you should drink. If a person ate, and after he ate, he didn't walk at least 4 amot after the meal, achilato merkevet. So the food in his system, merkevet, like it spoils. And that's the beginning of bad breath. That she says, ena mitakelet, the food does not digest, la'asot zevil, in order to go out of his body eventually to become waste, because he didn't walk after the meal, even that small amount. And it's the beginning of reyach ra, that she says, reyach hapeh, it's the bad breath. Hanitzrach lin kabav, if a person has to go to the bathroom, ve'achal, and he ate while he has to go to the bathroom, domel le tanur, it's analogous to an oven, shesiku al gabe efro, that they lit it over the ashes, which means they didn't take the ashes out of the oven first, the old ashes, before they rekindled it. So the same thing, his body is filled with tzua'ah, and he didn't go to the bathroom, so he's eating now on a dirty stomach. Vezeu tehilat reya zuhama. And that's the beginning of Re'ah Zuhamana. She says, Kol gufo mizuham bezi'at tamid. Person perspires, and he becomes sweaty as a result of it, and it causes him, obviously, a smell of perspiration. Rahatz behamin. Now the Gemara says, if a person bathed in hot water, ve'lo shata mehem, and he did not drink from it, dome le'tanur shesiku mebachutz. It's like a tanur that they heated it up from the outside, velo esikuhu mebifnim, but they didn't heat it up from the inside. Which means the guy went to the hot bath, so he heated his body out on the outside, but the inside was not heated. By drinking water, it heats up the inside as well. Now, as she says, by heating the oven on the outside, there's no purpose. You need to cook in the inside of the oven. So therefore, just going into the bathhouse and heating up the outside of the body is purposeless. Unless you actually drink the waters, now you heated both sides. It's a health issue. Rahatz behamin. If a person bathed in hot, velo nishtatif bitzonin, and did not follow it up by a cold shower, dome le barzel. It's similar to iron. Shechnisu aleur. When they're making the iron, they might want to make it hard, so they stick it in the fire first. But velo echnisua, or echnisua letzonen, they did not subsequently put it in the cold. That she says, by putting it in the cold, it becomes strong, it becomes hard. By not putting it in cold after, it remains unfinished. So the same thing, if a person goes to the bathhouse, and doesn't take a cold shower after, he didn't finish the process. The hat velo sach. If a person bathes velo sach, but he did not anoint himself with oil, dome lemayim al gabe habit. It's like putting water on the outside of a barrel. Pouring water on the outside of a barrel doesn't cause it to penetrate inside. So the only benefit is when you get the water inside the barrel. Now that she understands, when did they used to anoint themselves with oil? We learned on the previous daf that they used to anoint themselves with oil before they went into the bathhouse. That we learned in the story when the bee went to the mikveh. So it says that when he went into the mikveh, you had Rabbi Yitzhak bar Avdimi wanted to heat up oil for him. Why? That she says, in order that he can anoint himself before he goes in. So that's the way that she will learn over here. That if you don't anoint yourself with oil before you go into the waters, it's not beneficial. Which means it's like pouring water on the outside, but the water will not benefit the inside of the body. Tosfot here, however, has a different understanding. Tosfot says, Dibura matkil rachat velo sach, velo garsinan mi'ikara. But don't learn it means that you put the oil before you go into the mikveh. Dehab bechule hashas rechitza kodem sicha. Tosfot learns the opposite. Rechitza comes first, the bathing comes first, and then they would put the oil on their body. He quotes a pasuk, lahaku vesachu. First bathe yourself and then anoint yourself with the oil. Ukra ketiv, and then it was what actually quotes a pasuk from Megillat Rut that says, verahatzt vesacht by Rut. Now Ami tells her, first you will bathe, and then vesacht, and then you will anoint yourself. So you see the bathing comes first. Then he says, "Mi yukra ika leukme b'sicha shaitam mitkashetet atzma l'reyach tov." He's there, but that sicha is different. That sicha that Naomi was talking to Ruth was more like perfume, and therefore that's obvious. A perfume is going to come after the bath because you don't want to wash it off. So that's not a proof to wear. So we're talking about a way where they would put like an oil on the body. So therefore, Tosfot says, "V'lachen lo hayta sacha b'tchila sha'idei rechitza hayta ma'averet ha'sicha me'aleha." But anyway, Tosfot does learn this. Given us talking about the sicha is coming after the rechitza, while as she learns, it's coming before. Now, just a few insights on this last piece of Gemara. The Chafetz Chaim was very careful when it came to these type of health issues that the Gemara talked about. He's quoted as saying, "Mitzvat shemirat habriut gedolah hi lemeod," that to take care of a person's physical health is a great mitzvah. And many times the Hafez Chaim would tell the yeshiva guys when they were studying late at night that, you know, close the lights. And he would make sure that they go and leave the Bet Midrash in order they get a good night's sleep. And he would say many times that it's the Yetzer Hara trying to keep the student up, you know, way into the evening in order that the next day he'll be so weary and tired that he won't be able to learn according to his capabilities. He says it's healthy that a person should sleep even at the expense of staying up all night and learning. Towards the end of his life, where it was even difficult for the Chafetz Chaim to walk, the stories are told that after every meal, he would at least try to walk for amot in order to fulfill this Gemara so the food will digest. And one of the rabbis tells a story how once he even was eating in his bed because he couldn't walk, but he forced himself after he finished eating to take at least the four amot, like it says in the Gemara. It says after he walked a certain amount, he turned to one of the Talmidim and said, "I think I've fulfilled my obligation," meaning he walked the proper shiur. Regarding going to the bathroom before one sits down to eat. So the Shna Kadosh has a whole discussion that sitting down at a table to eat is actually a religious ceremony. We believe that the Shulchan is similar to the Mizbeach. And therefore, just like a Kohen who goes to serve, has to serve Beguf Naki, so too when a person sits down to eat, he must sit down in a pure body. And therefore he says, it's not the pshat in the Gemara that if he has to go to the bathroom, he should relieve himself before he eats. The Gemara means to say you must check yourself. You must go to the bathroom regardless and check yourself to make sure that during the meal you will not have to relieve yourself because of the kiddusha that takes place at the time of the eating. The Zohar in Parashat Terumah is very mahmir on this. It talks about sitting at the table beguf naki because it's domeh l'shulchan asher lefnei Hashem. The Rambam also writes the same thing in his Hilchot Deot, Perek Dalet Halacha Bet. I quote the Rambam: "Velo yochal ad sheyibdok atzmo yafe yafe." The Rambam said you should not sit down to eat until you check yourself. Yibdok doesn't mean go to the bathroom. You have to go sit and see if you actually have anything there. maybe you'll need to go to the bathroom during the meal. And then the shla ends and says, Hareu b'kedusha v'netchita kilipa. Now once you sit b'kedusha, then all the kilipot, whatever it is that happens at the meal, is pushed away. So there's a rinyan also, these things still have application until the present day. Rav Yaakov Emden, on this piece over here, just has a question regarding drinking from the waters of the bathhouse. Rav Yaakov Emden brings a Gemara in Horayot that says if a person drinks from the water that he bathed in, so he forgets his learning. So therefore, how can the Gemara tell you over here that you have to drink? So Rav Yaakov Emden explains that it's talking about that you're drinking hot water, not from the bathhouse, similar to the water in the bathhouse. That's what he was telling him, which means drink the water from the bathhouse. It doesn't mean the actual water from that he bathed in. It means water like this. Now, the Mefarshim do point out that there's simpler answers to answer of Yaakov Emden's question, because really you could say that Gemara really said you should not drink the remnants of the waters that you bathed with. For example, you had a bucket. So you poured, let's say, some water over you, and now there's leftovers in the bucket. It was those waters that the Gemara was said one should not drink because it leads to forgetfulness. But the water that they bathed in itself, that's considered the leftovers, that's considered the water that he bathed in. So it's one thing has nothing to do with the other. Furthermore, we could say that there's two different issues here. You're right, drinking from the waters might not be good for your memory. However, there's other benefits from it. He was not discussing the memory issue. He was discussing the drink from the water in order to heat up the inside. So therefore, it's not necessarily a stira between the two gemariyot. In any event, the Gemara gives us these advice. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Ve'ashtu debuna matril min ha'mayim hamin." Drink from the hot waters. Ve'afilu lo hamu ela l'chitza. So it sounds like clearly, according to Rashi, that even though these waters were heated for l'chitza, it could be from this Rashi. It sounds like they were heated for l'chitza, but you didn't actually use them for the chitza. Could be these were like waters that were, you know, extra waters that you originally heated them, but you didn't have to. According to the shiur, you don't have to say that he was actually drinking from the bath himself. In any event, the new Mishnah says, for this Mishnah, it would be beneficial to see your Pirush Chai on page 78 in order to see the different pictures of these types of ovens. The first type of oven the Mishnah discusses is a mulyar. Mulyar ha-garuf, if the mulyar type of oven is garuf, meaning you took out the coals from it before Shabbat, shotin emenu b'Shabbat. So you're allowed to drink the water that's in it on Shabbat. A mulyar, we'll try to describe it, that's picture number 340. It's the way that she describes it. It's a kettle. Picture a kettle. On the outside of the kettle, you have a little receptacle where you're able to fit coals in it. So it's heated up from the outside, and the coals are actually touching the outer wall of the mulyar. So the Gemara says that the only way to drink water from this mulyar on Shabbat is if it was garuf. Garuf means you took out the coals from before Shabbat. And tichi, that would be the second type of receptacle. We will see in the Gemara exactly what an antichi is. Afal pishe gerufa, even if it is garuf, en shotin emenu, you still cannot drink from it. So it seems an antichi holds the heat more. And therefore, even after you made garuf, you cannot drink from the water. So again, a mulyar would be cooler, obviously, because once you take away the coals from the mulyar before Shabbat, you can drink from the waters. However, even if you take away the kolsom and antichi, whatever it is, we'll see in the Gemara, you still cannot drink. Now the question over here is, what are we talking about? Rashi learns that we're talking about the regular laws of Shiyah, like we learned earlier in our Perek, which means certain items you need garuf katum in order to drink from it or use that food from before Shabbat. You have to take away the coals. Now, it's a little difficult to understand what's going on here exactly, because this mulyar, for example, Rashi tells us you have to be goref it, you have to take away the coals in order to drink from the water. Well, Rashi himself told us earlier that he's posek like Hananya. Hananya clearly holds that for Shehiyah, you don't need garuf katum. You're allowed to have coals. Hazara you need to take out coals. But for Shehiyah, you're allowed to have coals. So why in a mulyar would Rashi tell us that you have to take away the coals from before Shabbat? Why is it different than a kira? Why is it different than what we were learning above? Furthermore, Tosafot levels different questions. Let's look at the questions that he levels on Rashi. Actually, let's read Rashi inside first, and then we'll appreciate the questions of the Tosafot. Mulyara garuf mina gihalim bi'od yom. You took out the coals from Friday. Shotin mimimad b'shabbat. Ve'afal pishu hamuksat machmat akeli. Even though, let's say, they are still getting a little hot over the Shabbat, because the walls of the mulyar are still hot. Because it's really not adding any heat. It's just really maintaining the heat. In order that it doesn't get cold. Now, the Rashi right away is introducing me words and terminology that are hatmana terminologies. Which means this terminology of mosif haval, adding heat, not adding heat, is a terminology used by hatmana, insulating. So could be that she holds that the issue over here is really not a shehiyah issue. The issue over here is that you have water, it's being insulated by this pot, that its walls are hot. Now we know on Shabbat, you're not allowed to have insulation on something that is mosif haval. So therefore, before Shabbat, what do? Take out the coals. By taking out the coals, now this would be considered hatmana, bedavar she'eno mosif haval, and therefore would be permissible. So therefore, this has got nothing to do with Hananya. Which is, Hananya was not discussing hatmana issues. Hananya was discussing akira with coals. Could you leave stuff on? Could you not leave stuff? But this is a different story here. This is more of an insulation, because the water is being insulated by the pot. So that's the way that she is going to learn this issue of a mulyar and an antichi. An antichi, the chidush is, even after you take out the coals, it's still generating heat. Because the walls are so hot that it generates heat. Now, even though you took it out before Shabbat, doesn't matter. If it's mosif haval, if it adds haval, such hatmana becomes forbidden. So that's the way we have a derech in Rashi. Tosfot does not accept that. Tosfot, as a matter of fact, when he sees Rashi write those words, mosif haval, he says, what do you mean mosif haval? That's a hatmana issue. We're not discussing hatmana over here. Uh-huh. We're talking about you have water on in a kettle. You want to drink from it. That's a shehiyah, leaving it on the kettle before Shabbat and drinking from it. He further goes and says, and we posik like Hananya. Once you say you posik like Hananya, what do I need to make garuf for? Even if it's not garuf, Hananya says it's permissible. So Tosfot has a different understanding of this Mishnah. He understands as follows. The whole discussion is here, how hot is this water? So he says, a mulyar, that you took out the coals from before Shabbat, it's not considered that hot, meaning if you want to pour from that hot water to dilute your wine, they used to dilute their wine with hot water. So it's not going to be considered that you're cooking the wine, because the water is not that hot. However, in Antichi, even if you took out the coals, the water is very, very hot. And therefore, by pouring it into your cup of wine, it'll be considered cooking the wine. So Tosafot has a whole different ma'alach. If you want to read that inside, we could read that inside in the Tosafot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. V'nir'eh kepirush harav purat. Mulyar agaruf shotin emenu b'shvat shemuzgin hamayim hamim b'yayin. You can pour the hot water into the wine. Lefi shamayim enan kol kach hamim b'mulyar shidbashel hayayin min hamayim. Because the water in the mulyar is not that hot that it'll cook the wine. Shemuzgin etocho. Aval antichi. Afal pi shegirufa. Even though it is garuf. En shotin emenu lefi shantichi yesh b'haval yoter. Because it's very, very hot. So therefore, we have a great machloket over here in how to interpret this Mishnah. Either it's a hatmana issue, according to Rashi, it's an insulating issue. Therefore, the mulyar does garuf, Rashi will tell you, it's not considered hatmana, but the vara mosif aval. Therefore, you're allowed to set it up before Shabbat, just take out the coals. And I think even if you take out the coals, it's mosif aval, and therefore you have a problem of hatmana. That's what it says. We're not discussing Atmana over here. The issue over here is what? How hot the water is. Pouring it into
wine.
Will it cook the wine or not? Now the Gemara is going to give us the definitions of these terminologies. A mulyar and an antichi. Comes the Gemara and says, Hechi dame mulyar hagaruf. What is considered a mulyar hagaruf? What is it? Tana. Mayim mebifnim, the water is in the inside. Vegehalim mebahutz, and the gehalim, the coals are on the outside. So exactly, that's picture 340, like we learned. The coals are in a receptacle on the outside, warming up the mudyar. Antichi, next we have a machloket. Rabba Amar de kire. What does be kire mean? So if you look at picture 341. You see what it is, which means you have a kira, which is the rectangular shape box with the coals in it. Now, you have, let's say, a compartment that's separated by a wall, and in that compartment you put water. The coals are on the other side of that wall next to it. So that would be called be'chireh. According to Rabba, this is the picture of an antichi, that's what it looks like. Now it seems that because of this wall over here, it generates a lot of heat even after you take the coals out. This wall over is a thick wall, and therefore it gets very, very hot. And therefore, even when you take the coals out, it's still able to give heat. That's the way that she understands. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar, Rav Yitzhak bar Amar says no. He has a different understanding of an antichi. He says be. Dudeh. Bedudeh would be the picture of 342. Basically, it looks like a mulyar, which means it's a kettle. The coals are on the bottom, at the base of it. And then you have two bases, which means you have two levels. You have the floor of the antichi, that's where the coals are. Then you have a sheet of metal, a little air space, and then another sheet of metal.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like two pieces of metal,
in between,
and then the water is above that. So therefore, that becomes the fact that there's like two bases in the middle, that makes it very, very hot. And therefore, if you take it out, it's going to become still mosif aval according to Rashi. So either it's a, what do you call this, bechireh, that's 341, or it's be dudeh. That would be 342. If you want to look at that, she bedude yore gedola. It's a big pot, let's say. Osin la shte shulaim. You make it two bottoms. We'll call it okay. Two bases. You have the base itself, and then you have the one on top of it. Venotim gehalim ben shenehem, and you put the coals in between them. Vehamayim al alyonim, and the water is on top. So it's similar to the picture that you see over here. You have the base on the bottom, and then you have the second base above it, and then you have the water on top of that. Now the question is there an argument between the opinions? Well, obviously there's an argument in the configuration of a antiki. So the Gemara says, Man da'amar bedudeh. the opinion that says that the Bedude, even if you take out the coals, it still remains hot, Kol Sheken Bechire. All the more so, Bechire. Which means it seems that the Bechire is hotter than the Bedude. Uman Damar Bechire, but the opinion says, Bechire says, Aval Bedude lo. So therefore, in order of
heat,
if you want to go in order of heat, the Bechire would be the hottest. The Bedude would be the second, and the Mulyar would be the third. Okay, so therefore, those are the opinions. Tanya Kivatet Rav Nachman. We have a blighter to support the configuration of an antiki according to Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Nachman is the one that said Bedude. Zantichi Apalpi Shigirufa Vektuma. The antiki, even though you took the coals out, En Shotin Emena. Why? Bepnesh Nehushta. Mehamemata Nehushta means its base heats up very, very much so, and therefore it generates heat even after you took out the coals. Now, what do you see? That an antique has a Nehushta, it has a base. Now, according to the opinion that says it's a Bechire, it's not a base really, it's a wall that's separating. Nehushta implies that what? It's the configuration of Bedude. Okay, so that's the Gemara. She says Nehushta. נחושת שלה, אלמה ביורש של נחושת קאי, ונחשתה משמר נתיחתו. ואני אומר נחושתה לשון שוליים. So that she learns that the word נחושתה means a base. כי נכתיב יען, שמך נחושתך, ולשון שלה משתה נחשתו של תרון. He brings proofs. ושאלי אנטיקי ממוליאר, why is it different? דמיתוך שהשוליים מחוסים חומם משתמר. Since it's covered, which means it's inside the kettle itself, so the heat on those walls are very strong, as opposed to the Bechire, the wall is really revealed to the outside. So therefore it can cool off much quicker. That's again like the order we told you. Mulyar would be the coolest, then you have the Bechire would be a little more hot, and then the Bedude would be the hottest. Okay, so that's that Mishnah. Now we go to the next Mishnah. A Meham. Shipinahu. You have a meham, which literally means water that was in a yore, was in a kettle, and it was on the fire. Shipinahu. Now, shipinahu literally means you removed it. And the Gemara is going to explain what exactly did you remove. It could be one of two options here. It could either mean you removed the water from it, or you removed it from the fire with the water still in it. And Gemara is going to go discuss both options. So we'll leave it open. That's why that she right away tells us, Ameham, kumkumum shel hamin, the kettle of water, shepirau kula matniti mefaresh b'gemara. That she said, just wait for the Gemara to get the analysis. So Ameham shepinu lo yiten letochot sonen. Do not put in it cold water, bishvil shiyihamu, in order that the cold water becomes hot. Aval notenu letocho o letoch hakos, but you could put hot water, you could put cold water into this meham, kedeh lehavshiran, in order just to warm it. So you cannot put water into the meham if it's going to heat it. However, if it's just going to become warm, it is permissible. And for that matter, you're allowed to put cold water into a kos. What is a kos? A cup. A cup obviously is a klisheni. You took from the meham, you poured water into a kos. The kos is a klisheni. For sure you could put cold water into a klisheni, because we learned yesterday that a klisheni does not have the ability to cook. So leave that part of the Mishnah. That part of the Mishnah is understood. But the question is, what is the Gemara mean? You told me in the beginning of the Mishnah, you can't pour cold water into this meham if it's going to get hot. But you could pour cold water into this meham if the cold water is going to become warm. So we want to understand, what do you mean? How does it become hot? How does it become warm? How do you fulfill these things? How do you do such a thing? What are we talking about? So right away the Gemara says, Mai ka'amar. Which means, what does the word pinahu mean? And what does it mean? Don't put. And then the Mishnah says, but you can put. Give me the scenario we're talking about over here. My kama. Amar Rav Ada bar Matna, Hachi Ka'amar. This is what's being said. Hameham shepina mimenu mayim hamin. Ah. Meham shepina means that you emptied it from its water. You had a meham on the fire. You took it off, you emptied, you spilled out the water. Now what are you left with? Just a hot, empty vessel. Ameham shepinau means you emptied it from its water. Now, lo yiten netochom mayim mu'atin. Do not put a little cold water into it. You know why? Because what's going to happen if you put a little cold water into this boiling hot, empty vessel? Kedeshiyahamu. Because they're going to become hot. A little water is going to get cooked in such a empty vessel. Aval noten netochom mayim merubin. Kedeh lafshiran. But you could fill it up with water. Why? Because by adding so much water in it, so the water overpowers the heat of the meham, and therefore what's going to end up happening? It'll get warm. So that's exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Now we have a scenario. Meham shepinau means you emptied its water. You cannot add a little cold water in, because it'll get hot, but you can add a lot of cold water in it, because as it falls into the pot, it is going to become warmed and not cooked. So comes the Gemara on Amud Bet and says, "V'halo mitzaref." You're right. You don't have a problem of cooking the water, but you have another issue over here. Mitzaref. What is mitzaref? Rashi. V'halo mitzaref. Kishikli matechot ham. When you have a hot metal receptacle, ונותן לתוכות סונן, and you add cold water to it, מחזיקים את הכלי. It strengthens the vessel. וזוי גמר מלאכת הצורפים. The people that work with metal, like the blacksmith, this is like the last thing they do before they finish the metal. שנתיחת האור מפעפעתו. When they heat it, it makes the metal soft. So they need now to strengthen it. וקרוב להישבר, it can even break, והמים מצרפן פעפועיו, which means the weakened metal now becomes strengthened by what? Adding cold water. Now that would be considered one of the melachot on Shabbat, מכה בפטיש. That's the final touch when you have a vessel. The final touch is what? You pour cold water on it in order to harden it. So the Gemara is saying, I understand your case. You want to tell me that what? You have an empty vessel, boiling hot, because you had it on the fire. What probably happened? It got weakened. And now what are you doing? You're pouring cold water. What do you mean? Bishul you don't have. But siruf, you do have. So how could that be? So the Gemara says, no problem. Rabbi Shimon, the Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, the Amar, Davar She'en Mitkaven Mutar. Geez, the guy over here does not have kavanah to make siruf. His kavanah is what? He wants to have some warm water. So therefore, according to Bishmon, as long as you don't have kavanah for the isur, it's okay. But Tosafot asks, you're right. But the Bishmon holds of the concept of psik resheh. What does psik resheh mean? If something is going to happen inevitably, so even if you don't have kavanah, it doesn't matter. Which means, if inevitably when you pour this water in, it's automatically going to make siruf, so the fact that you didn't have kavanah doesn't mean anything. Something that's going to happen automatic, inevitably, is asur even according to Rabbi Shimon. So we'll have to say, that's not inevitable. Because who says that it was heated so much, that it softened, that it really needs siruf? So therefore, it's really not 100% that it's going to happen. So in such a case, Rabbi Shimon will say what? It's permissible, because davar she'en mitkaven, where there is no psik resheh, where it's not inevitable, is mutach. That's the way we explain the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, matkif le'abaye. Abaye doesn't like this interpretation. So Abaye asks a question. Abaye says, mide meham shepina mimenu mayim ketani? Abaye says, come on. Does it say in the Mishnah, a meham that you emptied it from its water? It doesn't say that. Meham shepinau ketani. It says a meham that you removed it. which is mashma, you removed it with the water in it. You're reading into the Mishnah that you're saying. It's a dohak. It doesn't say meham shepinau mayim. You took out the water. It just says you removed it. Meaning what? You had a meham filled with water, and you took it off with the water in it. Ela amar Abaye. So Abaye has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. Achi kama. This is what it means. Hameham shepinahu. You took the meham off the fire. Kli shon. The yesh po mayim hamin. And there's boiling hot water in it. Lo yiten letocho mayim mu'atim. Of course, you would not be allowed to add a little water into that. Why? Bishvil shiyahumu. Because what's going to happen? Of course, it's going to boil. You're going to cook the water. Aval noten letocho mayim mirubim. But you'll be able to put a lot of water in there. Kedei lehavshiran, in order to warm it. Which means when you have a boiling hot pot of water, let's say it's half filled, and now you fill the rest of it with cold water, so the cold water is going to overpower, and then, because it's a lot, and therefore you warm it. So they've got nothing to do with an empty pot. It's a regular pot filled with water, and it depends. If you're adding a little water, asur. If you're adding a lot of water, mutar. Or what about an empty pot? So he says, umeham shepina memenu mayim. But regarding an empty pot, lo yiten letocho mayim kol ikar. Don't put water in there at all. Why? Mipnei shemitzaref. Because bottom line, you're going to make tziruf, the Rabbi Yehudahi. And it's going according to the opinion of the Yehuda that says, the amar, davar she'en mitkaven asur. Let's understand this side. Abaye is learning our Mishnah, it's a meham with water. And that's where the Mishnah made a chiluk. If you put a little water, problem because you're cooking it. If you put a lot of water, no problem because you are warming. Oh, but that's only because there was water in it. Mashma, that in a empty one, you can't even put a lot of water. Why can't I put a lot of water? Siruf. What do you mean? I don't have kavanah to make siruf. You're right. Our Mishnah is going like the Biyuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, davar she'en mitkaven, asur. And therefore, even though you're not having kavanah, it's asur. So you see a very diverse way of learning the Mishnah. The first way of learning the Mishnah, we made the Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. According to this, we're saying, no, the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. How? I'll say it again. The Mishnah is talking to meham with water. You took the water off. Could you add a little water to that? No. It's going to cook it. Could you add a lot of water to it? Yes, because it's going to warm it. Warming's okay. Oh, but that's all because there was water in it. Implying that if there was no water in it, even a lot would be asur. Why? Because siruf. I'm not mitkaven. Our Mishnah is following the Biyudah that says, davar she'e mitkaven, asur. Gemara continues, Amar Rav, lo shena ela lehavshir, aval letzaref asur. So Rav learns that which we said in our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to put water into the meham. That's only talking when you are boiling the water. However, if you're going to be mafshir the water, meaning we're talking about a meham that's filled with hot water, but by adding a lot of cold water, the cold water is not going to become heated, it's only going to become warmed. That's permissible. Lo shanu ela lehavshir, aval letzaref asur. Implying that what? If the meham was empty and there was no water in it, by putting cold water, what is it going to do? It's going to be mitzaref. That's making it hard. And therefore that would be asur. So it's clear that Rav holds like the opinion of Abaye that interpreted our Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a meham that's filled with water. However, if it was emptied with water, empty from water, then it's forbidden to put cold water into it, because it's going to be mitzaref, like the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that says even though you're not mitkaven, it's going to be asur. So that's Rav's opinion, like Abaye. Ushmuel amar, afilu litzaref nameh mutar. Shmuel comes along and says, no, we can learn the Mishnah is even talking in an empty meham. And you're allowed to add water into the meham. Why? Even though it's going to be Mitzaret, it is permissible. Why? Because Shmuel will hold like the Bishimon that says, Davar she'en mitkaven mutar. Now, from the language of Shmuel says, Afilu litzaref name mutar. It sounds like from his words, even if you have kavana to be mitzaref, it sounds like it's permissible to take cold water and put it in a boiling hot, empty meham with intention to be mitzaref. So the Gemara says, mitzaref, the chattahila misharef? Is Shmuel going to allow you to be mitzaref, the chattahila? How could that be? So the Gemara re-explains the machloket of Rav and Shmuel and says, Elai itmar, achi itmar. So you want to understand the machloket of Rav and Shmuel, understand it as follows. Amar Rav, lo sharu ela shi'ur lehavshir. Aval shi'ur letzaref asur. Meaning, according to this version, everybody, meaning Rav and Shmuel, are holding like the first answer of the Gemara, which is Rav Adab bar Matna. Rav Adab bar Matna learned the Mishnah is talking where it's an empty meham. And what's Rav telling you? You can add water into an empty meham. Shi'ur lehavshir. So long as it's the amount of water, which means it's a lot of water, that will cause the water to warm. However, shi'ur litzaref would be asur. What is the shi'ur of siruf? She says filling it to the top. Shitat Rashi is that siruf only happens when you fill the cold water all the way to the rim of the meham. So Rav will tell you that if you fill it up, let's say 3/4 of the way, that would be considered shi'ur of hefshir, mutar. However, if you fill it up, the shi'ur of siruf, even if you're not having kavanah to make siruf, Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that says, davar she'en mitkaven asus. That's the way Rav is learning. Again, Rav agrees the Mishnah is talking on an empty meham, like Rav Adab bar Matna. So what are you allowed to do in an empty meham? Mishnah says, shi'ur of hefshir, which means so long as you don't fill it up to the top, the water will become warmed, which is mutar. However, shi'ur of siruf, what does the shi'ur of siruf mean? You filled it up to the rim, that's shi'ur, that's asur. Why? You didn't have kavanah. No, Rav holds.
Doesn't matter.
Like Rav Yehuda that says, davar she'en kaven asur. Let's read Rashi. Ela shi'ur lehavshir, velo letzaref, kegon shalom mila'u kulo. He didn't fill it to the top. Ve'rav mashma le'pinau kerabada. And that's understanding the Mishnah like Rabada that says what? Shepina mimenu hamid. And now what is Shmuel saying? So back to the Gemara. The bottom line. Ushmuel amar afilu shi'ur letzaref. Shmuel says, even if you fill it up to the top, not that you had intention to be mitzaref, meaning you filled it up to shi'ur of tziruf, mutar. Why? Because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that says davar she'en mitkaven mutar. So Rav and Shmuel both agree to Rav Adab bar Matna's interpretation of the Mishnah. The machloket is, do they hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon regarding the machloket of davar she'en mitkaven? So comes the Gemara on the Amud Rishon. Gemara says, mutar lememra. Do you mean to say the Shmuel can Rabbi Shimon svir aleh? You're telling me that Shmuel agrees with the Shitav Rabbi Shimon? Why? What's the problem with that? The Amar Shmuel. We have another statement of Shmuel. Mechabin gachelet shel matechet birshut rabim b'shvir shelo yazuku ba rabim. You have a gachelet, a coal that's made actually from metal. Which means, imagine taking metal and you heated the metal. The metal was very, very hot. Glow. Where it's, let's say, glowing. Exactly. So now the deen is, it's dangerous. It's in the Rishut Rabim. Chas v'shalom, if people walk over this gahelet shel matechet, they can get burnt. It's sakana. So Shmuel's deen is, you're allowed to extinguish this gahelet of matechet on Shabbat in order that the people will not get damaged. Aval, however, lo gahelet shel etz. However, when it comes to, let's say, a coal that was created from wood that was burning, to that Shmuel says it is forbidden to extinguish it. Let's read Rashi. Gachelet shel matechet shel mashlichin lechutz psolet shel barzel. Which means sometimes then when they would have scrap metal, they would take the scrap metal, they would just throw it into the public domain as garbage. Meanwhile, it was still burning. Delo shiach kibui ba'achem de'oraita. And Rashi tells us a very big hadush. Extinguishing, which is one of the 39 melachot, mechabeh, is not applicable to metal. The extinguishing from the Torah only applies to wood. But when you extinguish metal, that's not considered a fire of a coal that you'll be hayav on mechabeh. U'midrabanan asura. However, it's asur, midrabanan. So therefore, what's the rule? Ve'echa di'ika niskal rabim. In a case where it's an impediment for the rabbim, it's in the middle of the shoot of rabbim, the rabbis waive their rabbinical decree in order to make the rabbim easy to walk through it. So that makes understands why Shmuel allows you to put out the gahilat of matechet. Now, aval lo shel etz nashi, the surah deoraitahu, the hayav sekila. Of course, if a person extinguishes a piece of wood that's on fire, so this is Isu Deoraita. The Torah's law applies even in a case where there is Nezek. Now again, I want to point out, we're not talking about whether there's Sekanat Nefashot over here. If there was Sekanat Nefashot, where somebody was going to die, then of course you transgress the Deoraita. Here it's just, it's potential danger over here. It's a potential hazard. So to get rid of a potential hazard, the rabbis will waive their law, and therefore you'll be allowed to extinguish the Gahelet Shel Matechet. However, the Gahelet Shel Ayet, since it's Isu Deoraita, it stands in its place. So comes the Gemara and says, if you're telling me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, afilu shel etz nameh, even etz also should be permissible. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon has another opinion. Famous machloket of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda regarding melacha she'ena tzericha legufa. Let's explain this, Ma'alot. We've explained it a few times to the Masechet, but it's worthy to explain it again. To be Hayav on Shabbat, a Melacha, it has to be similar to the Melachot that were done in the Mishkan. Now, the question is, how similar? Everybody agrees that the Melacha had to be done in the Mishkan to be Hayav. There's no argument. But the question is, the purpose of the Melacha. Meaning, in the Mishkan, all the melachot that were done were creative melachot to create a positive result. For example, they wrote, the purpose why they wrote was in order that they wanted to mark the kiddushim to know exactly where to put them. They carried the kiddushim from one place to another. The Mishkan, for example. The carrying was creative, meaning they wanted it to be in the place where they brought it. All the melachot in the Mishkan were done for a creative, positive purpose. So the Mishimon says, those are the only types of melachot that you're going to be hayav on Shabbat. If it's done for constructive purpose, as opposed to what? As opposed to doing it, I'll say it defensively. Meaning, you're reacting to a situation. For example, the classic example of melacha, she'ena tzedichah legufa would be, God forbid somebody's dead now in the house. So now you want to take the body out. So taking the body out, let's say you're bringing him into, let's say, the public domain. So normally this would be issur from the Torah. You're taking from one domain to another. But here, it's not that you want the body in the reshut harabim, really. You just want it outside the house. You don't want it in the house because it's putrid. And therefore you're reacting to a situation, which means if it was up to you, you would rather the guy didn't die, that you didn't have to do this. You're reacting now to a situation that took place. So that's considered in Lashon Hazal, Melacha, She'ena tziricha legufa. You don't need the Melacha per se for the constructive aspect of it. It's just reactionary. Let's apply that to the case of the Gahelet. When you extinguish, you have a fire, let's say. You're extinguishing the fire, so in most cases, you're reacting to something. You don't want a fire, you don't want it to burn. So therefore you're putting it, that's not a constructive melacha. That's just, you're stopping something that was, so to speak, negative. That would be called a melacha she'ena tzedicha legufa. Rabbi Shimon holds melacha she'ena tzedicha legufa patur. It's not like the Mishkan. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, argues and says, no, no, no. A melacha is a melacha. Even if it's in a tzedicha legufa, you're hayav. Now, let's apply it to the case of the Gahelet over here. Shmuel just taught us that you're not allowed to extinguish the wood that's on fire into the Shuta Rabim. Why? Because it's a Suda Oraita. Well, that's not so. According to the Bishamon, this is a melacha. It's not constructive melacha. You just want to put it out so the people don't get damaged. True. According to the Bihuda, this would be considered hayav. It's melacha. So now the Gemara's question is like this. You just told me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon regarding the din of Davar She'en Mitkaven. Why? Because Shmuel said you could fill up the entire Meham to the top so long as you don't have Kavanah to make Tziruf. Davar She'en Mitkaven Mutar. Oh, that's Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, you hold like the Bishamon? Then how come when it comes to the Gahelet, you don't allow to extinguish it? Mm-hmm. Because according to the Bishamon, it should be permissible. The Gemara, for some reason, at this point, equates Davar She'en Mitkaven and Melakash and Asnicha Ligufa, even though really they are totally different concepts. As a matter of fact, the Tosafot doesn't even understand the connection. And that's what really the Gemara is going to answer. There's no connection between it. The Gemara says, and we read it. Gemara says, if you hold like a Rabbi Shimon, it should be permissible even to put out a piece of wood. So the Gemara says, yeah, when it comes to the rule of Davar She'en Mitkaven, you hold like a Rabbi Shimon. But in the Melachah Shekhalgufa business, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, it's two different subjects that don't meet. I'll tell you the difference, the basic difference. Davar She'en Mitkaven means you're not intending to do a Melachah. Now the melacha might come out as a result, like the case of Tziruf. Ask the guy, what are you doing over here? I'm filling up the urn, I want to make warm water. But you understand, maybe it's going to come to Tziruf. Yeah, that's not my intent, I don't have any kabbanah for any melacha over here, I just want to make the warm water. That's the vashim mitkaven. Melacha shenasini negufa, ask the guy what his intent is. His intent is to put out the fire. Which means he wants to do the melacha. There's no question of it. He wants the fire to go out. It's just that what? There's no positive constructive result of it. But the kavanah to do the melacha is there. So there's a big difference in concepts. So the Gemara says, when it comes to davar she'en mitkaven, Shmuel will hold like the Bishimon that says davar she'en mitkaven mutar. When it comes to melacha she'nasnicha legufa, then he'll hold like the Biyuda. And he'll say what? And even by extinguishing a coal, where you're just reacting to something that that you wouldn't have wanted from the first place, that is mahmir. Like the Buddha said, "Melakash tzidikal guf, shena tzidikal gufa." Hayat. Two different concepts. We thought that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon across the board.
Yeah.
No, davar she'en mitkaven is one din. Melakash tzidikal gufa is another din. Now, just to point out. Is there a case? Oh, of course there's a case. What is the case, according to the Bishamon, that you'll be hayaf mechabedan? Isn't every extinguishing reactionary?
Yeah.
How do you have a case of extinguishing that is constructive? The Bishamon, exactly. The Bishamon will tell you where you're doing it to create a coal. How do you create a coal? You light it, and then you extinguish it. Now already you have a coal, you have a peham. So therefore, the only constructive extinguishing that a Mishra will ever say Yahayav would be is Ba'asot peham. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ravina. Ravina comes along and says, Hilkach, therefore. Which means, therefore what? Since we just said that the rabbis waive their rabbinic law for Nezek Rabin, Kotz Birshut Rabin, if you have a kotz, a thorn, that's in the Rishut Rabin, Molicho Pachot Pachot Midal Ramot, you'd be able to pick it up and carry it less than 4 Amot
at a time,
until you finally get it out to the side. Now let's analyze. We know from the Torah you're not allowed to transfer 4 amot into the Rishut HaRabim.
Mm-hmm.
You can't pick up an item and walk 4 amot. That's Asur min HaTorah. the rabbis came along and said, even less than 4 amot is forbidden. Why? Because they don't want you to come to 4 amot. So they forbade less than 4. Ah, so now you have a kodesh b'shut rabim. It's dangerous for the rabim. So the rabbis will waive their pachot midavar amot rule and allow you to go 3 amot, stop. Go 3 amot, stop. In order to discard the kodesh. Now the Gemara says one more din. Ubekarmelit afilu tuba. Now a karmelit, we said, is the quasi domain. It's not a reshut yachid, but it's not a reshut rabim. It's like, let's say, a valley. We said it's considered, let's say, a karmelit. It's not walled in, but then again, it doesn't have the traffic of a reshut rabim. So it's called a karmelit. It's a rabbinically forbidden area where you're not allowed to carry. So now, even carrying 4 amot is rabbinical. Even the 4 amot is rabbinical in the karmelit. So therefore, if you found a kotz in a karmelit, you'd even be allowed to carry it 4 amot at a shot. Because again, the rabbis will waive their rabbinical enactments in light of a nezik d'rabim. Now that's the way that she learns the sugya. I just want to tell you the opinion of the Bahag. The Baal Halakot Gedolot, which is brought down in the Ran, is a very, very important shita. He holds even Isur De'oraita is waived for Nezek of the Rabbim. So he says, Gahelet Shel Matechet, when you extinguish it, true, let's say it's not Mechabeh from the Torah, but it's another Isur. It's Siruf, which means when you have metal and you... it's on fire and you take the fire out, he says that's part of the melacha of tziruf, which the Bahag holds is the oraita. So it's adraba. You see from our Gemara that it's permissible. So the question is, why not gehalet shalaitz? So according to that, you should be allowed to do gehalet shalaitz as well. So comes the Bahag and says that the fire in a gahelet of etz is evident. People can see that in the Reshut Rabim. Therefore, when a guy's walking down the Reshut Rabim, he'll see it. What are you gonna tell the guy to make a isur d'oraita in order, in a case where really people can watch themselves? In the gahelet shel matechet, it seems it's a little deceiving. So therefore, he says, even though you're going to be mitzaref d'oraita, it is permissible for nezek levi. So we have a tremendous mahloket. Between the Rishonim, to what extent the Nizkei Rabim allow us to transgress? Shitat Rashi is Davka Adrabanan, become Nizkei Rabim. Shitat Bahag, even a Deoraita. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen, amen.